Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, thank you so much for joining us today. My motivational quote is by Bill Bradley, and he says, "Respect your fellow human beings, treat them fairly, disagree with them honestly, enjoy their friendship, explore your thoughts about one another candidly, work together for a common goal, and help one another achieve respect." You know, today what's happening in the news, we're faced daily with headlines of our own encounters with respect in the workplace, good or bad. And whether it's attention grabbing, those Me Too stories, fearful business practices that some of you may be experiencing, hostility, discriminatory actions, or multi-generation conflict, and that's just to name the few. Workplace disrespect, I think, just has grown to epic proportions. Now, these actions and behaviors impact productivity, teamwork, and I think overall job satisfaction. So why what can we do about this? Well, today you're in store for a big treat. My guest is Roseanne Thomas. Now, Roseanne is the founder and president of Protocol Advisors. She's a specialist in providing business etiquette training to professionals at respected organizations, wait for it, Tiffany & Company to Boeing. She also helps people prepare students at top colleges and universities to achieve their highest degrees of workplace success. She lives in Boston, Massachusetts. And she's an expert on business etiquette sought out by leading organizations. Now, Roseanne takes on these challenges in her wonderful book, which I think everybody should read, especially if you're in business. It's called Excuse Me, The Survival Guide to Modern Business. And it really is a survival guide. She presents a new playbook for workplace behavior that respects the individual, which in turn, it just benefits the company. With Excuse Me as their trusted etiquette advisor, readers will not only reap career building and bottom line advantages, but also enjoy a more pleasant workplace environment. Can you imagine? So please help me welcome my wonderful guest, Roseanne, to the show. So Roseanne, thank you so much for being on.
It is such a delight to be with you again, Connie. Thank you for having me.
Now, Ro, we did a show a few months ago. So yes. I highly recommend everyone you go back and you listen to that show, because we did talk about etiquette in the workplace, and we did talk about the book. We're going to still talk about that, but we're going to take just a little bit of a shift so that we don't duplicate what we did in the first show. Right, Ro? So go back to listen to that show. It'll definitely inspire you. And Roseanne gave so many wonderful tips in that show as well. So, all right, let's start. We hear so much about the importance of showing respect, that word respect, in our professional dealings with others. So, first of all, why is respect so important right out of the gate?
Right out of the gate, you know what? We are still individuals. We are human beings with feelings. And, you know, there once was a time when we maybe technology would distinguish us, or our skill in some area or another would distinguish us. That's no longer the case. The one thing that will distinguish you is the way in which you treat other people, the respect with which you treat them, and you'll get that kind of respect back. There's no longer a captive world audience, if you will. People will hire, people will promote, people will do business with others who show them respect.
And here's the thing. Okay, I'm saying this, but I don't know if this is true. So I'd like you to comment from your you know, dealings with organizations like Tiffany and Boeing. We all know what respect is, don't we?
Say that again?
We all know what respect is, don't we?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because we all say that we want respect, and we're all I guess, cognizant of when we're not getting respect, but I don't think we're all that aware of when we're not showing respect.
And do you think, Roseanne, have you found, you know, during, again, your experience after writing the book and just what you do for a living, do you find that we don't always know when we're being disrespectful, especially when we're stressed out or we have deadlines or teammates are off their game because of personal things like divorce, a child sick, and stuff like that? Do we even know that we are being disrespectful?
Well, we may or we may not. And, you know, the what you just described happens to everybody. We all have issues going on in our lives probably every single day. There's something that could derail you if you allowed it to. So you're really always aware of the way in which you're coming across to other people to the extent you can be. But I also would like to caution others to just give your coworkers the benefit of the doubt, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're going through. So if you think you're coming across a little short or shrill or impatient, stop. Apologize. You know, say, I'm sorry, that didn't come out the way I wanted it to. Let's get back on track. Something like that. But yeah, we're human beings. We all are subject to feelings.
Yeah, right. We all got stuff going on, right?
Exactly.
Nobody has a perfect or an easy life. We all have stuff. It's how we respond to the stuff. I think that differentiates, again, that level of, or that fine line of respect versus a little bit of disrespect. Now, we've all heard the golden rule growing up, right? It's always kind of been, I think, the standard of behavior. You know, you hear people often say, I treat people as I wish to be treated. Does this advice of treating others the way we like to be treated, do you find that still stands true today?
Well, it's a good start. And I don't even see that, to tell you the truth, in a lot of situations. But now we have to go a giant step further. We have to think about the way in which other people want to be treated. It's not so much how we want to be treated as how they want to be treated. We call this the platinum rule. And that requires that we find out.
So how do we find out how people want to be treated? Is there a protocol that you recommend?
Well, there's all sorts of etiquette, points in the book for sure, about how to talk with or interact with various populations. You know, when in doubt, just think to yourself, if I'm not sure, for instance, we tend to, people of other cultures or people of other generations or people of other, backgrounds or maybe orientations. And we tend to think that the way in which we want to be treated is the way they do, not necessarily. So if we're not sure, we ask. We ask. If we're not sure how a colleague, for instance, wants to be referred to, we ask him or her. Because pronouns, for instance, these days are not ubiquitous anymore.
Yes.
You have to find out. If you're not sure what to do, ask. People will appreciate your asking because it shows you're interested in showing them respect.
It's interesting. I just flashed back when I first started my career. I sold insurance out of college. And I went into, in Lakewood, New Jersey, there's a very high Jewish population. I believe they're Hasidic Jews. They could be Orthodox. I don't know. That's ignorant of me. But I went down. I had gotten a lead, and I went down to the home, because insurance, you do it in the home. Knocked on the door. Gentleman opened the door, and I went to extend my hand, to shake it, to say thank you for having me. And he took a step back. And immediately I was like, oh, like, what did I do wrong? I felt so bad. He was so kind. And he said to me, you didn't do anything wrong. He says, in my religion, it's disrespectful for me to touch another woman. That, his wife comes out from the other room. And of course, what do you think the first half hour of our meeting, what did we talk about? His religion. Especially as, 22 or 23 years old, I was a kid. I was fascinated that a religion could hold women in such esteem, that it fascinated me. Now, he had given me referrals right after I left. They liked me. I liked them very much and, gave me referrals to their family and friends in the neighborhood. Next time I went to that house, I didn't extend my hand. I just, through body language, I said, thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to, chatting and getting to know you guys better. I didn't extend my hand that time. And so, again, I'm thinking, well, respect, you shake hands. And it really was, it could have been an offensive thing. So you learn, right? That's part of what we're talking about today. We learn how to treat people based on their ethnicity and all these other things as well.
Exactly right. And that was a great lesson for you to learn so early on.
Yeah. And can I tell you, they were so kind. Again, because they knew I didn't do it out of disrespect. I did it out of ignorance, right? So they were extremely kind to me and teaching me the protocol of their religion, of their ethnicity. Now, the makeup, you kind of alluded before about the makeup of the workplace. We have multi-gens working side by side, which has drastically changed over the past 50 years.
Yes.
What populations are now represented in our workplace today?
So we've got the traditionalists, the ones that were born before the 1940s or before the mid-40s. Then we've got the baby boomers, born in the mid-40s to the mid-60s. Then we've got the Gen Xers, who were born around the mid-60s to around 1980. Then we've got the millennials, who were born sometime in the mid, you know, early 80s to around the turn of the century. And now we've got Gen Z. We don't know what to call this next generation. We haven't agreed upon that, but we have five generations in the workplace trying to get together. So what that means is we are trying to understand people who maybe 50 or 60 years are junior or senior. And that's our orientations are so different.
Yeah, drastically different. You know, my parents are the first one you mentioned.
The traditionalists,
right? They came out through the Depression.
Yes.
I have my thinking about money, et cetera, you know, work, you know, what work, get benefits, all of those kinds of things. That's because that's how my parents raised us. And then, you know, my generation, I'm the tail end of the baby boomers, Roseanne. So, you know, our generation lost jobs after being there for 40 years and things like that. So now the next generation, the Gen X's, are like, we're not doing that. So we have, we all have our issues, right? Each generation. But I just want to share a really quick story. So we had my dad's 88th birthday a couple of weeks ago, and all the grandkids came and my siblings and I were there, which was awesome. We got great pictures and all of that. So my niece says to, she's a millennial and she's mid 20s. And so she, we don't know what we're saying. And she goes, oh, 60, that's old.
Oh.
So I'm like, excuse me, what do you mean? And she's like, you're 60, you're old, let's face it. And I said, okay, you know, I think we're getting older, but I don't think 60 is old. And, you know, and so I said, you know, Vicky, my niece's name is Vicky. I said, you hate when we label millennials, right? And now you're labeling 60-year-olds as old, which are, right, is again, the baby boomers. Are we really old? We're doing more. We're vibrant at all of this. And she just dug in and said, you're old. So when on the way home, my husband and I were talking in the car. We were giggling. And I said, isn't that funny? We all have our perceptions of each generation, right or wrong, good or bad, it just is. So we really do have to come together.
We do. We have to challenge our conceptions, our feelings about other generations, because we do need to work together. I would caution people not to tell people they're old at the age of 60 or 70 or 80. I wouldn't tell Warren Buffett that he's old and he's practically 90, you know. So we've got to figure out a way to show respect to one another. Ageism goes both ways. Sometimes millennials think they're being picked upon, and I know that. But the older folks feel like they're maybe not given the credit that they deserve for all the institutional knowledge they have and all the experience they have.
Absolutely.
So it goes both ways.
It does. And it struck me funny, obviously, because I love my niece. But she's very verbal about, I hate when someone says you're a millennial, because, you know, and let's face it, when people say, oh, you're a millennial, it's never with a connotation of a nice comment. It's a derogatory, right? So I totally get where she's coming from. But I just crack up because, you know, the old comment. Now, you mentioned, I want to go back again, you mentioned the platinum rule, that we really need to start practicing that. And that shows respect by treating others the way they wish to be treated. But how do I know how someone wants to be treated so that I can execute the platinum rule, you know, at the highest level?
If you're involved in a situation where you think there could be any difference, I mean, you're saying hello to someone, saying hello, establishing eye contact, that applies to everyone. But as you mentioned earlier, whether or not we shake hands, well, we need to know that. How we, our nonverbal communication, whether we roll our eyes or, you know, slouch in our chairs, that kind of thing. Conversation topics, we don't necessarily know. And we don't want to discount anyone. So if we're not 100% sure, we ask. We ask how someone wants to be referred to. We ask, you know, whatever it is that we're unclear about, we ask about that, and we will get an answer, and it'll be a good one.
Is that becoming more common? Do you find in your travels with your clients that asking, here's the situation, your body language changed when I said XYZ, I meant no disrespect, so how should I have approached you? Do you find that happening more, or it's a slow progression of that?
Very, very slow.
Yeah.
Very, very slow. You know, cross-culturally, we're kind of clueless unless you make it a point to learn about this other culture and the way in which they treat women, way in which, you know, they treat minorities. Everything that they value could be different. Their conversation topics, the way in which they eat with one another, they dine with one another. You could show disrespect just by virtue of the way what you choose the restaurant that you choose to take a client to, that could be disrespectful. So these are little things that you can, you know, mediate before. You can just, you don't have to do an enormous amount of research, just enough to show the good faith that you have and the respect that you have for that person in wanting to know about them. That takes you very, very far.
And I would think, Roseanne, as you go to different clients, depending on the demographics, like you and I both live on the East Coast. So we have, I believe, a very strong flavor of diversity on the East Coast because of New York, right? So, you know, and I know down in Florida, they have a tremendous amount of diversity down there in California. So we have pockets throughout the United States. So do you find it more common or easier to understand those demographics when you're surrounded by it, at, you know, to a large extent?
Well, you would think that, to tell you the truth, but I'm not 100% sure that's true either. I mean, we all have our own preconceptions and our own biases, if you will, and it's not necessarily location specific. It doesn't matter really necessarily where you live. Maybe we have a better idea of how to, on the surface, show the respect, but I don't know whether or not we are feeling that respect, and that's where it comes from. That's where the authenticity comes from.
And do you find, you know, over the years doing this, that we're moving faster, meaning we have more to do, our to-do lists are growing. We work because of the changes in technology. We work a lot because we're always connected. Has that hurt this level of respect in the workplace, or is it always the same? You know what I mean?
I think I do. And I think it definitely has. We are not interacting with one another. We are not conversing. We are not dining with one another. We are not establishing eye contact. We're barely talking on the telephone right now. I mean, it's all text. We're not even leaving voicemail messages. So you're absolutely right. We've been divided, and we've got to make the effort to come back together, because you know, nowadays, employers are there hiring for attitude, training for skill. As, you know, our economy progresses, there's going to be more and more jobs that are going to be automated, and there are going to be fewer and fewer people that they're going to need to do the jobs that are available. And those people are going to be the ones that get along with others. They are going to be the respectful people.
Yeah, stay relevant. That's the moral of that story, right? And interpersonal skills absolutely matter, because tasks and stuff we can teach people. But being nice and just having that wonderful interpersonal connection, good body language, good eye contact, we could teach it, but it's a harder task. So as jobs, you're right, as more automation, less jobs, the relevant ones are going to be those with the good interpersonal skills. It's definitely worth working on. Now, through, again, your clients and you know, your experience, do you see some common examples of disrespectful behavior over and over again?
Oh, yes. I mean, the fact that people are, I've got my phone right here, I'm not on my phone, but that they will not look up from their electronic device when they're talking with you. And some people, it's not just millennials, will say, no, I hear you, I can concentrate on both. Even if you can, the person with whom you're talking doesn't think that you can, and they think that you're very well not hearing them, and maybe that's showing a lack of respect, I would say. So that's huge right there. Oh, what else? You know, just conversation skills. You know, some people are happy slouching in their chair, and they don't think anything about that. That shows respect. Some showing the soles of your shoes can be respectful, depending on the culture that you're in. It goes on. And just little things, not holding doors open for people, talking loudly, using inappropriate language, dissing people, you know, because of who they are, not being aware that the generation, not only the generations and the ethnicities and the cultures, but it's also people of various disabilities. Now we have to be concerned about how we interact with people who are differently abled. We have to be concerned about how we work with the LGBTQ population. We've got to be concerned about how we interact with the returning military. There's just so, and it's just so, and not just the men and the women and the ages.
It's interesting. My niece goes to a college here in North Jersey, And she's not in a sorority, but she works in the office for the Greek life there. Mm-hmm. So she had to go through an extensive training course about how to connect or speak to respectfully the different organizations, the different genders, all of those things on campus. And pronouns was a big topic of conversation, how people want to be referred to. And, you know, the thing is, it's so important that we educate so that we don't do things because we didn't know any better. But ignorance isn't an acceptable answer, right?
So no, I think that's an excuse these days. You know, we can't expect to be treated respectfully if we're not willing to find out how other people want to be treated. To your point, I think I read that there's something like 57 different ways to self-identify on Facebook.
Yes.
And it is growing as opposed to shrinking. Yes. So there's nothing wrong with asking someone. Nothing wrong at all.
Absolutely.
I know I've said it a couple of times, but you want to do that.
And it was funny, Ro, when my niece was telling us about this training she had gone through and the pronouns, and I was ignorant. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? What pronoun do I want to be referred to? Right. That was, I think, the topic. And so she went through and explained. And I said, because, again, maybe because I am, according to my niece, old, but because I'm getting older and I'm removed from that college life and that type of thing, I didn't know what that protocol was, and I certainly would never, ever want to say something to make someone uncomfortable or say something wrong. That would never, ever. I really do try to treat people with kindness. So to me, I was asking a million questions because I was like, I can't make that mistake. Now I know something. I have to learn about it so that I don't do something out of ignorance, right?
Absolutely. But you know what, Connie, you come across as such a nice person who has such a good intentions, no matter what. People will listen to you and they'll say she means no malice, you know, aforethought. She doesn't mean any disrespect. And so your attitude is going to carry you. If people think that you made a mistake, they're going to forgive you having made a mistake, like an honest mistake. They're going to forgive you that as long as you are showing some interest in maybe learning, and that's what you're saying, I think.
Oh, yeah, always. And I thank you for that, because I do try, I really, really am hypersensitive to people's feelings. And, you know, my mom and dad used to always say, walk in my shoes before you judge me. So if someone seems abrupt to me, I don't immediately go jerk, right? I think, I wonder what's going on in their life, that maybe they're sad about something. So you always try to walk in my shoes before you judge me, right? Who am I to judge them and what's going on in their life? They might have problems that I can't even conceive of. So I try to show kindness and empathy. I guess that's a better word. Because everybody's going through something, Ro. It is what it is, right?
It absolutely is. So we give people the benefit of the doubt. We give them great latitude because we're going to need it some point or another. We're going to need someone to overlook something we said or did or didn't do or whatever happens to be because of something happening in our life.
Absolutely.
You know, we're humans and we're going to need someone to understand us. So we want to understand other people, which means that we do not jump to taking offense. Try not to be, I'm very sensitive too, but try not to take what people are doing personally, because it's 99% of the time not personally directed. It's what they're going through at that particular moment.
Yeah, it's their issue. It really is never personal when someone's attacking you, unless you did something really wrong to them. So what are the risks to organizations? Because I think this is a really important concept too. What are the risks to organizations that allow disrespectful to happen through the ranks of the organization? And it is an allowable behavior.
They are enormous. And I just want to say one thing. Sometimes people do deliberately go out of their way to be disrespectful. So I can't say that no one ever does.
Sure.
And you kind of can pick up on that. But companies are investing in civility training now because they realize that their bottom line could be affected. Their brand could be affected. Their customers certainly will pick up on this. Their hiring abilities, hiring and keeping good talent is going to be a problem for them. And it's very easy to go online and go to various locations and find out about that company's reputation. Nothing is secret anymore. So, yeah, and it has to start at the top. has to start at the top.
It absolutely does. And I don't know if I told you from the last time we spoke, I'm part of another business. It's called the Roundtable Group. A colleague approached me because of the amount of disrespect going on, and our clients were approaching us saying, you know, the sexual harassment training, it's not doing anything for this level of disrespect that's happening. And the Me Too, like my introduction, it's in the news. Every day we hear something. You know, what are you guys offering? And so my colleague approached me and she's like, what are you doing for your clients? And I said, you know, it's a big issue and we talk about it, but I haven't really created anything. So what we've done is we created this business called the Roundtable Group, and we actually wanted to dive deep and do a little research before we come up with what we think the solution may be, because what we think might not be right. So we actually have, it's called Centenary University up in Hackettstown, New Jersey, and we're beta testing there. We created an online survey. So we're really deep diving to see what, and it's at a university, which is kind of cool in the higher ed environment, but what's really going on? What is the cause and the effect before we make, come up with some protocols or remedies to get in? And what we're talking about really, I think, Roseanne, is changing the culture, you know, from the top down, bottom up. It's got to be a multi-level implementation, I would think.
Well, you know, you're 100% correct, and it needs to start at the top for sure. You know, there are legal ramifications, there are productivity ramifications, there are health ramifications. I mean, if you just look at it from a monetary standpoint, I read a statistic that said it takes something like almost $70,000 to replace someone who in an exempt position, someone at a level that is not an hourly worker, because of the fact all the that goes into recruiting and interviewing and training and getting someone up to speed. So yes, it has to start at the top. A boss who does not model respectful behavior but expects it from other people, not going to get it. And his credibility is at stake, or hers is, you know, clearly in the balance right now.
What are some of the strategies that you use for changing that disrespect, especially in the corporate culture?
So we need to identify it first, and that's kind of, I think, what you're talking about. We have to figure out what it is and actually put a name to it, and then pass that, educate around it. And companies need to have a sort of a code of conduct or, a mission statement, a behavioral standard that people, if they fall beneath, are going to, you know, hear about. And it's not just negative reinforcement. Look, other things like positive reinforcement, you know, really, honestly, the employee of the month goes very far, you know, and recognizing someone for going out of their way, doing something that's positive, you know, or something that helps, yes, help someone else. I think Zappos, for instance, offers, they offer Zollars, Z-O-L-L-A-Rs, which are monetary awards for people who are caught doing something nice. It's holding the door open or picking up after other people in the common break room or you know, anything like that. Just being on time all the time and listening and all these various things. If you're caught doing something nice, you might be the recipient of a Zappo reward. And I kind of like that.
It's funny because there's a lot of research being done of positive recognition versus a punitive approach.
Right.
And especially with children, you know, they're doing it at all levels, but children, they're finding when you reward in a positive way, like you're saying, employee of the month, or if the child cleans up, that they get to stay up an extra half hour on the weekend, something like that, some type of reward that the child would cherish, that positive influence actually causes good behavior versus those punitive, taking something away where you're penalizing the child. But they're doing research at all levels now, so they are finding this positive. And that's why Zappos has such a great reputation. They're one of the top, I think, employers to work for. This doesn't happen by accident, right? And I believe the CEO in Zappos is extremely hands-on with these type of awards and stuff like that, which is kind of cool, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, being publicly recognized is wonderful. Getting a letter, a handwritten note the president, or I mean, you'll have that forever. It makes you feel so good. Other gifts are nice, too, you know, but it's the recognition that means more than anything to anyone else. And the fact of the matter, you just mentioned it, that the positive reinforcement is infectious, I should say, as well, in that when people start to see, morale starts to go up and people everything seems, productivity is better and people are not absent as much and they're on time more. All these various things are hard to measure. After a while, I said, but things are better. Why are they better? It's because of our culture.
Yeah, and it can be done, and I think it's easier than we often think. Well, we're out of time, which we always run out of time. We have so much more to say, right? I guess the last quick question that if you can answer this before I give your website and your email address so folks can reach out to you for more information, of course, buy the book as well. What if I experience bad behavior or disrespect? You know, the kids, they call it bullying. It's bullying to some extent in the corporate environment as well. Is there something I can do if I'm observing it to mitigate and stop it?
Absolutely. First of all, we have to be absolutely sure that what we're witnessing is disrespect. We go back to the giving the benefit of the doubt. But if there's no doubt in our mind, etiquette or civility never requires us to take, you know, bad behavior, bullying behavior. So we confront it and we start sort of gradually, like maybe they didn't hear. I'm not sure that you heard what you said I'm not sure that you understood how that came across. And that might not do the trick. That might not. So you say, you know what? I find that, you know, disrespectful and I'd like to change the subject or get onto a different track. And if that doesn't do the trick, then you can say, you know what? This doesn't work. It isn't working for me. And I'm going to need to enlist other people's help because I need to feel safe emotionally in this corporate environment. So you can definitely stick up for yourself and other people, but just do it in a calm way. Never become part of the problem.
Yeah. Yesterday I was training a class on sales and we're talking about negative behavior, right? People coming in and just being in a bad mood and kind of being sharp with their tongue and how they respond. And well, what do you do? And the one person gave the example, you know, like Roseanne goes to Marie and says, did you see what Connie did? And,
yes.
You know, instead of saying, oh, I know, that you're almost agreeing with them, even though you're just trying to show empathy. So I says, you don't do that. What you say to Roseanne is, Roseanne, you have an issue with Marie? Go talk to Marie. Let her know, why are you telling me? I can't do anything about that. I said, so you remove yourself, but you hold that person accountable to not talk about somebody behind somebody's back, but to go address the issue head on. And, you know, now if they don't do that, that's on them. That's not in you. But don't get caught up in the drama, right? That's basically what we're saying.
Absolutely true. And just the fact that you're listening to this and doing nothing about it, all of a sudden you're kind of complicit, people think. So your advice is say, you know what, you've got an issue with Marie and good luck with that kind of thing, but don't get involved.
Right.
Do not get involved.
Yeah. It's hard. It is hard to not get caught up in drama. I get it. We have to stop the madness though. You know, disrespect, it's becoming every day, everywhere, in every environment. It's what? Like you sit there and you go, how could this be? You know, every time you watch the news, yet again, another headline. It's been absolutely crazy. So guys, if you would like, I'm going to give you two ways to reach out to Roseanne. You can either go to her website, which is, of course, www.protocoladvisors.com. And I will put that link on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change platform. And I always backlink for you guys so you can find her. Or if you'd like to kind of start a personal chat with Roseanne, please go to rthomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, at protocoladvisors.com. And I do want to spell protocol. So it's P-R-O-T-O-C-O-L, advisors, plural, .com.
Yeah.
So please, you know, and check out the book. It's amazing. I of course I read it, Ro, right? A long time ago when we first did the show. But excuse me, the Survival Guide to Modern Business. It really is a very cool handbook, I thought, because you give some good stories, but you also give nice advice and recommendations and some examples of how corporations have implemented things in real life, real time, which I found good help. You know, helpful examples are always very helpful.
Yeah, 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 sure.
So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Connie. You know, people just start to take the high road. You know, you won't find a lot of company up there at first, but after a while, people will join you, and you're in just in a much better position. You really are. Take the high road.
Yeah, Roseanne, we have to start a movement, right? Respect in the workplace, not disrespect, right? We're starting a movement. It's starting here. It's starting now on the show, right, Ro? And your book. And yeah, your book is really part of that movement as well. And guys, if you need to reach out to me, please go to Connie@WittmanAssoce.com. I do respond to any of your comments. If there's a topic you'd like me to cover on the show, or there's help you need personally with your career in sales or leadership, reach out to me. Also, my partner and I, on Wisdom Decoded. If you go to wisdomdecoded.com, we are still offering your free communication style assessment, which Roseanne also helps understand why people respond the way they do through their core communication style. So that's another tool that will help you guys based on our topic today. So go to wisdomdecoded.com for that. Ro, thank you again for being on. I just love our conversations. I just love spending time with you. I think you simplify a difficult topic, and that's really what we're trying to do.
Thank you, Connie. You make it so easy. It's really my pleasure.
It really always is a pleasure to have you on. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that here is another show about change and changing from disrespect to respect. And simple works, guys. Little steps work. So change is often easier than we oftentimes think. Just do something differently. And I like how Roseanne just said, take the high road and see what happens, right? It's as simple as that.
See
what happens. It could be cool. Thank you again, Ro. Thank you all for listening to the show. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful week, and I hope you have a week filled with tremendous respect. Thanks, everybody. Take care.